Will you pray with me today as we get started? God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for fathers, and we thank you for the influence that they have on us, and Lord, for just the fathers in this room that you have called to just be leaders in their household and to just glorify you, to point their children to you. Lord, we just pray today for fathers everywhere. Lord, not only for the fathers, but for the mothers, for the children, for each and every one of us in between. Lord, we just thank you for being our Father. Lord, we just pray that you will make us all courageous, and that each and every one of us will strive to be yours, to be reminded that we are your children, and to worship you and to praise you with everything we are, with everything we say, and with everything that we do. Lord, it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. So I want to ask you today a little bit of audience participation. I've been with like 700 to 800 high school kids this week, so I'm needing a little bit of energy right now. I'm needing to ask you guys, what made your father great? What made your father great? Integrity. Awesome. Awesome. Integrity. Hard work. Hard working dad. Absolutely. Generosity. Patience. Patience. We each need a little bit of that. Determined. Determined. Time spent with kids. Absolutely. What was the other one? I heard another one speaking up. What was that? Humility. Absolutely. Yeah. What made your father great? Loving. Absolutely. Loving. Yeah. What was that? Silly. Absolutely. Every father's got to at least be a little silly sometimes, right? Absolutely. Truthful. Truthful. Responsible. Absolutely. Those are some great fathers. Those are some great fathers. Have you ever given or have you ever received one of those like mugs, t-shirts, or maybe a plaque that said World's Greatest Dad? Anybody in here ever received one of those? Anybody? A couple? A couple World's Greatest Dads. Okay, we're going to have a wrestling match up here afterwards, and we're going to figure out who really is. No, we'll do this test though. How many of you dads have ever had a song written about you? Any out there? Any out there? Well, I know a father who had a song written about him. You might know it. Sing it with me if you can. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right on. Oh, we won't do all the actions. You can sing it after church. We'll sing it after church. If you had a song like that written about you, you might think, you might start to believe that you really were the world's greatest dad. Looking at what future generations would say about Abraham, how they would revere the father of great nations, you would think that maybe Abraham would really be the world's greatest dad. You would almost think that he should be writing books, maybe some self-help books, maybe some parenting books on what it means to be a great dad. And we see some of the things that make him great, but at the same time, we want to look at what some of those books might have been titled. So if you would, maybe there would be Financial Peace Out University. How to Provide for Your Family by Leaving Every Hope for Financial Security. You see, Abraham had that one down. Genesis 12 tells the story of Abram, Abraham's name before God had changed it. When he was 75 years old, probably having built up over the last 45 to 50 years what would have been a respectable living for him, his wife, and his nephew, who was almost like a son to him. And now, he decided when he was 75 years old that instead of staying in that, he was going to leave it all. Get rid of every hope for financial security, every networking that he had developed, every person that he had as business partners, and he was just going to leave that all. Financial peace out, university. He left it all in the dust, all in the rearview mirror. His wife, Sarah, must have thought that this was the worst case of midlife crisis known to man. We went a long way. Okay, there we go. So maybe that would have been his first book. If that one didn't really catch on, if it didn't get the bestseller list, Abram could have written a marriage book to go along with this series. What about Trading Spouses? How to Date Away Your Wife. He was watching that TV show from a few years back. You see, Abraham left everything he and his wife had ever known, and Abraham goes down, is trying to go to this promised land. And he goes through it, and he actually ends up in Egypt. And where this book might come from is his experiences as just an awesome husband. He goes to his wife and he says, "Hey, by the way, I'm going to say you're my sister, and you're going to go date the Pharaoh." Ends up that there's some repercussions because of that. Just imagine how that could possibly go wrong. Pharaoh realizes this and ends up they have to be going away from there pretty soon. What a word to fathers and husbands everywhere. Trading spouses. How to date away your wife. Maybe that one wouldn't quite get there. So how about this one? How to get your own lot of land. Dummy's Guide to Running Off Your In-Laws. You see, Abraham was pretty good at that as well. In the next chapter, in fact, we see that Abraham's workers and his nephew's workers got a little too close for comfort. And they ended up having to split off, and they didn't even stay together after Abraham had drug his nephew to the other side of their known world. Things weren't looking too great. There were some people write get-rich-quick books, but Abraham could maybe write a get-kids-quick book based on how to speed up God's timing. Based on maybe the real life experience of him deciding to take another woman other than his wife to try to make it so that he could have his son before God's timing and actually run the course. But perhaps the greatest book that Abraham would have written would be Abraham's Father and Son Guide to Grilling. And if you're not laughing yet, you will be by the end of the sermon. So let's take a look. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is where we're going to be today. I hope that doesn't get you away from being prepared to look into God's Word and to see what God has to say to us today. If you are a father, you've made mistakes. And if you have a father, then they've probably made mistakes. What I want to do today is not focus on all of the mistakes, all of the chapters in Abraham's life that really got him down. But I want to focus on a chapter in Abraham's life that God still used him despite of being a father not only of nations, but a father who had failed many times. Because as men, and I'm sure as women too, We can have some great things happen in life, but if we look back and we see all the chapters of failure, we can start to worry and define ourselves by those chapters of failure. And where that becomes dangerous is we read in Scripture that God is our Heavenly Father. And when we start trying to define God as our Heavenly Father based on the definition of how we may father, or how your father may have fathered and possibly failed, then we can get a skewed view of who God really is as our Father. And so I want to look at one of the times in Abraham's life. There were a few of these where he had some really shining moments. He did some great things. And so I want to look at one of those today. You see, fathers in the Bible come from a lot of different places. And in Genesis chapter 22, we come to this time where this father, the situation he found himself in, wasn't just going off a little bit, wasn't making a mistake, wasn't letting his son run out into the road unsupervised, wasn't just, you know, messing up and beating him with a ball when they were playing catch outside. What happened with Abraham here is he found himself with a knife standing above his son. And it wasn't an act of vengeance. It wasn't an act of malicious intent, but Abraham was actually acting in obedience. What we see as a man who may have, by our views, lost his marbles, in this instant he was acting in obedience to God. And so we're gonna dive into this story here. Once again, we're in Genesis chapter 22, and it starts off, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," Abraham replied. God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. You see, the first thing that we see in this story is a father who acts in faith. After all that Abraham had done, all of his failures, all of his mess-ups, one thing stood out crystal clear, and that's that God was still keeping his promise to Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, but Abraham couldn't see that. Abraham was old and only getting older, and he didn't have a son. He didn't have the start of descendants, so how could he have descendants as numerous as the stars? And he was worried, and he was starting to get afraid of if this day would actually come, but here we see that it had happened. God finally delivered on his promise. Abraham had a son, Isaac. And things were going great. And then one night, all of a sudden, God tells Abraham, "Abraham, take that son, give him back to me." "Why, Lord?" "God, I don't know if what you're doing. You see, you said that I was going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. That's going to need to start with Isaac." "What do you mean, take him up and offer him as a burnt sacrifice? God, that's not you." Abraham had to choose in this moment to truly act in faith. Through the last 100-plus years, Abraham had waited for his son to arrive. Abraham loved this child. At this point, he had raised this child. Abraham chose this child when the son he had tried to force God's hand with this torment. And Abraham had to make this tough decision to do away with his mistakes of the past and move forward with his son, with who God had really given him. It all seemed like God had his plan working perfectly until this day. The day when the same God who said that Abraham would have a son in his old age came back and said to give your son to me. And do you see what Abraham did? Did you see a father who acts in faith when God told him to go, Abraham, early the next morning? Not days down the road, not after he had time to mull it over, not after he argued with God, not after he reasoned. No, Abraham, early the next morning, loaded up his stuff, took his son, and began walking in faith. See, the walk didn't end there, though. Genesis 22 continues. It continues down. And says, when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Did you catch what happened two times in Scripture there? Abraham was a father who expected God to work. See, in these words that Abraham spoke two times in this passage of Scripture, it provides a hope that the beginning of the story was lacking. It shows faith that was already on display. Two times the father answers his son and his servants, knowing that God would show up. Abraham was expecting God to work in a big way that day. Abraham looks up and sees the place where all of this is going to go down, where he's going to take this step in faith of giving God his son back to him. And he looks to the two men that he brought with him. He tells them to stay where they are, and did you catch what he says to them? He says, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. And he says, and then we will come back to you. Abraham's going up a mountain to sacrifice his son. But he tells the men, we will be back. The second time is right to Isaac. Isaac, at this time in his life, knows. He knows the process. He knows the point. He knows the power of sacrifice to God. He looks around and sees all the fixings for this time of worship except one. He asks the father, where's the lamb? Where is the sacrifice that we're going to give? I don't know if it broke Abraham's heart or if it was a word of assurance at this point when he tells his son, the Lord will provide. Abraham wished and he waited expectantly for God to work in a big way that day. Genesis 22, verse 9 says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. We read this story, and if you're like, like I've been before reading this story and thinking, poor Isaac. What would it feel like to have your father dupe you into bringing your own wood to be killed on? What kind of dad would tie you down and kill you as some sick form of worship? What would be running through your head at this moment if you're Isaac? But when we look into this, when this is going on, we realize that those might not have been the things that were running through Isaac's mind. The things that we look back at and say, this had to be what he was thinking, those may not have been the words that were coming to Isaac, you see? At this point, Abraham, when he had his son, Isaac was 100 years old. According to the text, this story comes sometime later. From the language used, many scholars believe that Isaac was at least in his mid to late teens when this happened. How hard would it be for a man over 100 to tie up or even to catch a young man around 15, 16 years old? Abraham was a father who taught his son to trust. I believe that Isaac also believed and expected God to act in a big way that day. I believe that it required faith that had been passed down by his father, knowing who God is by what he had done for their family. And I believe that as Isaac allowed Abraham to tie him up, to place him on the altar, and as he saw his father raising that knife, all Isaac had to lean on was trust that God would work. Trust in his father who directed him and raised him every day to trust God and his power. So as he laid there, his father, with a knife in his hand above him, the knife coming down, the end of the story tells us that an angel stopped Abraham in his tracks. Once again, he hears the voice, Abraham, Abraham. And I'm sure with tears running down his face, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. God provided in a huge way. When a father expected it, when a family trusted, you see, we serve a father John 3:16 reminds us, for God, our Father, so loved the world that he gave his one and only beloved Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I want to remind you today, if you're a father who's fallen short, if you're a father who's made mistakes, who's messed up, you're in the right place. This world needs fathers that are willing to lead in faith. Not fathers who are perfect, but fathers who know to point to our perfect Father in heaven. God remained faithful to Abraham and to Isaac. Lord kept his promises, and he still keeps them today. So fathers, men, will you raise up today and be fathers of faith, who act in faith, who wait expectantly for God to move in big ways, who pass down your trust in God? Will you pray with me? Lord, help us to trust you. God, today and every day, help us to lean on you. Help us to believe in you. Help us to walk in faith, knowing you are who you say you are, and knowing you keep your promises and they are true. God, help us to expect great things to happen. Help us to expect you to move. And Lord, for all the fathers, for all the mothers in here, help them to be parents who pass down their faith to their children. Help them to lead with love and lead to you. Lord, we thank you for being a father who gave his only son so that we may become your children. Lord, we love you. God, we praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.